people. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, thank you for standing at our right hand, for coming alongside us as our great God and Saviour. Thank you for the salvation that you have won for us. And Lord, as we hear your word tonight, we ask that the power of your grace would touch our lives. Help us all here, Lord, to hear you and believe. Strengthen us, Lord, so that we serve you better, to the glory of God. Amen. Please let me encourage you to have Psalm 51 to hand as we consider its message together. As a preacher, I love words. I spend a lot of my time just thinking about words, trying to find the right words to express and to share the gospel. Finding the right words that will connect with someone. And so I love finding out about old, forgotten words. Every year, words drop out of the English language. You might know that the major dictionary publishers every year publish a list of words that they've removed because they're just not in everyday use anymore. For example, like the word chalk, C-H-O-R-K. Apparently that's the word for the sound that your shoes make when they're full of water. They chalk. Or if you've ever put a bottle on its side, so you want to drain out the last little bits, then apparently you have duffified it. Well, there is a very special, a wonderful word, a beautiful word, which has all but disappeared from people's minds. And it's a word that's now thought to be old-fashioned and out of date. It's not relevant. But it is such a beautiful word. I want us to recover it as Christians. I want it to be a word that we love and a word that we often have on our lips. That word is repentance. Repentance. Perhaps that might be thought of as a negative word. Perhaps a hostile word. But rightly understood, it is a beautiful word. It's a word that can save your life. It's a word that can transform you. Repentance is the difference between heaven and hell. Death and life. Doom and peace. Misery and joy. And I want us to restore this word so that you will agree with me it is a beautiful word. And isn't that what really this week has been about? We want to see people repent. But repentance is beautiful. Repentance is an adulterous woman turning from her broken past and washing the feet of Jesus with her tears. Repentance is a mad and violent zealot transformed into the apostle of peace, so that he even writes 1 Corinthians 13. Repentance is the word for a greedy, cheating tax collector who then gives away his money to the poor. That's what repentance is. Repentance is the way to really live. Repentance is the way to know God. Repentance is how you can be made into someone glorious. Repentance is how you can be made whole. How you can find peace. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to invite people to repentance, to walk that path with us. And Psalm 51 is summed up in this one word of repentance. It gives us in David a living portrait of repentance. It shows us why to repent, how to repent, and the wonderful result of repenting. The introduction reminds us of what King David did. And it's all there in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. David, a man greatly blessed, lusted, committed adultery. And then when Bathsheba is pregnant, he attempts a cover-up and has her husband murdered. And then he goes almost a year without being troubled. But then God sends the prophet Nathan to call him to repent, and David is saved. And Psalm 51 is David repenting. Repentance means that you turn from all of sin with all that you are to all that God is. That's what repentance is. You turn from all sin with all that you are to all that God is. And before we look at the individual parts of the psalm, when you look at the psalm as a whole, I think there's two key things that stand out, or two words to remember. And they are personal and possible. Repentance is personal and it's possible. Repentance is personal. What is repentance? It's renewing a right relationship with God. You see, just look at the personal language that David uses in this psalm. How many times he says, me, I, myself. And he speaks of God's face. And he's speaking to God face to face. And he's pouring out his heart, his deepest feelings he brings to God. And what he's seeking is to be right with God. He wants a right relationship with him that he's lost through sin. And this is why repentance is beautiful. Because it's not about feeling bad. It's not about just trying to be moral and good. It's not just putting right the bad things you've done. Repentance is that you are getting right with God in that personal relationship. It's restoring friendship and fellowship with God. And it's so important to get this because I think instinctively we think repentance is something negative, or it's just about rules in a legalistic sense, or that it's a burden and a duty. You know, it's people walking around in sackcloth and ashes. But biblical repentance is beautiful because it's how a lost soul starts to know God, the God of love and of life. And repentance is fundamentally a positive thing. That's the spirit of it. It's about getting right with God. If you don't know God, but you want to, repentance is what you need. So picture it like this. Think family reunion, not bank manager. Repentance is not going to the bank manager to ask for a loan, so you're just a client or a number. Repentance is a child coming back to a loving father and being embraced. So repentance is beautiful. And repentance is possible. That's what we should get from this psalm. It's never too late to start that walk with God. And there's nothing you've done that's so bad, it can't be put right. And you can have a fresh start with God. What David did was truly evil. But he has this fresh beginning through repentance. So, what do we learn from this portrait of repentance? Well, the first thing we learn is we learn about the first step of repentance. The very first step you need to take tonight. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. Now, I think that this is maybe the most extraordinary prayer in all of the Bible. David begins by asking for forgiveness. And you think, what? After what you've done, David? And you dare to come to God and say, forgive me? You think that just coming to God, it can be put right? What an amazing thing to do when you think about the evil of what he'd done. So how is it that David can dare to ask God for forgiveness? How can he dare to even speak to him? Well, it's because of one important word. David believes in God's loving kindness. In our translation, mercy. It's that wonderful word, chesed. That rich, full word that means God's covenant love. His unending love. His gracious love. That name revealed on Sinai when the people had made a golden calf and you'd have expected God to say, that's it, you're done, you're too bad. And instead, he passes by Moses, and what does he reveal about himself? He is the Lord, abounding in mercy, loving kindness. And so it's steadfast love, and it's the greatness of this love that David hopes in, trusts in. And so he prays, forgive me according to your mercy. He says, don't do it according to how big my sin is. Do it according to how big your love is. My sin is huge, but I dare to believe your love is greater. Your mercy is greater. And it's God's covenant love. God has bound himself in promises in the gospel. He's restricted himself. And he has bound himself and made this promise. He says, repent and believe the gospel and I will forgive. David knows the gospel. Not in the exact same form as us in every detail, but he believes in the promise of God. That God is this loving, merciful God. That's the good news of the gospel. So what you see here is the first step of repentance is believe. Believe and receive the mercy that's offered. God is willing to forgive. God is a God of love. And David begins here. He doesn't prepare himself or clean himself. He goes in all his filth to God. It's a great mistake to think, I've got to make myself better, and then I can get on with God. God says, no, first come back to me, and then I'll make you better. And this is grace, that God will take us as we are, and forgive us, and give us repentance. And so it takes faith. The first step of repentance is dare to believe the greatness of this promise, that God is merciful. The first step is believe the gospel. But then if you look at me in verses 3 to 6, you see the second step of repentance. Thoroughly confess your sin. Thoroughly confess your sin. It's not enough to just briefly, in a short way, confess sin and say, yes, I'm a sinner like anybody else. You need to thoroughly examine yourself and your own heart. And you need to bring the full ugliness of your sin into the light. Why you did it. You have to confess that your sin is not small. David calls his evil. And he uses three words to describe his sin. It is, in Hebrew, atar, which means breaking the law. It is pisar, willful rebellion. He says, look, this wasn't just, you know, an omission. I did this by choice. And it's avon, it's dirtiness, it's iniquity, it's unclean. You see, what David does is he doesn't make excuses. He doesn't minimize sin. He says, yeah, it's bad. It's the exact opposite of, you know, today there's those non-apology apologies, which usually the politician or the pop star says, well, yes, I'm very sorry, but I didn't mean it, or I'm very sorry, but you need to understand the situation. And David doesn't do any of that. He says, yeah, I'm just wrong. And he confesses that the real problem is with God. He says, against you have I sinned. And again, that's stunning, isn't it? Because David has sinned so horrifically against Uriah, the husband, and his family. But he knows that the real problem with sin is it's against God. That's the real problem. God is the most offended sufferer of sin. So that it makes even the sin against other people pale in comparison. Because all sin is to break God's law. Even sin against other people is against him because people are made in his image. And David's abused the gifts that God's given him. You must confess that you really deserve punishment. You deserve, really, hell. David confesses that God is in the right to judge him. You are justified when you judge, Lord. You'd be right to condemn me. You see, his whole perspective on right and wrong has been brought into the light of God, and now he suddenly sees the real reality of sin. And you've got to confess that your sin is more than just wrong action, it's a wrong heart. He says, from my birth I have been sinful. There's this thing, this sinful nature within me. I'm rotten within. My motives, my desires, my conscience, it's all wrong. And I know, God, that what you really want is purity within. Honesty and truth within. And as you probably know, when David speaks about being cleansed with hyssop, that was a ritual under the Old Testament reserved for the unclean people, for lepers, for those whose very bodies were defiled. And David's saying, that's how ugly it is. I'm like that. And so the second step of repentance is thoroughly confess your sin. The third step is seek the Holy Spirit's transforming power. Seek the Spirit's transforming power. Consider verses 10 to 12. David is seeking God's Holy Spirit to save him and change him. See, David knew that he'd been anointed with the Spirit to serve as the King of God's people. He had, in that sense, been given a particular portion of the Spirit's power for that work. But now we come to Jesus and we are given a limitless measure of the Spirit to live as God's people. And he promises the Spirit to every one of us to empower us and to write God's law on the heart. And we're a bit like an old-fashioned, you know, water wheel. If there's no water, we're just going to be stuck. But when the river of the Spirit flows through, we begin to change. And so what's David praying that the Spirit will do within him? Well, he's praying that it'll change his heart, his desires and his affections. He's praying that he'll know restored fellowship with God. He says, I don't want to lose your presence. And again, what David's showing us here, that repentance is that when you've sinned, don't run away from God, run towards him. Again, our instinct is to go and hide in the dark. I've done something wrong. My life's a mess. God's going to be so angry. I've got to go hide. But David's saying, no, God, the Spirit can bring you into his presence. And that's where you need to be. He's praying that God would perfect and finish his work within him. He says, create in me a new spirit. Create. Again, in Hebrew, bara, used only of God in Genesis. He says, look, there's nothing in me. I'm like that emptiness. I'm like that void before creation. There's nothing to work with, Lord. You're going to have to create something in me. You're going to have to do it. Your power is what can do it. And he's praying for the power of the Spirit to give him joy. He's praying for joy to be restored to him, spiritual joy. And again, he's showing us that repentance is a joyful thing. That this is how God will change your life. This is how God will change you and draw you away from things that are wrong. By giving you joy in the things that are right. By changing you so that you have this new taste and delight in the things of God. So that you'll want them so much, you won't want the old way of life anymore. So joy really does matter. Joy is not just this added, you know, cream on the top of the Christian life. Joy is at the very essential of being a Christian. Repentance is all about joy. And the way to really beat your sin and grow as a Christian is to have more joy in God. Pray for joy, as David does. And so how we need the Holy Spirit's transforming power within us. And then what you might call the fifth step, the final step of repentance. Devote yourself to worship and witness. Devote yourself to worship and witness. Consider, isn't that what David does in verses 13 to 19? And again, how do we repent? How do we change? We don't do it alone. We do it together. Again, doesn't there need to be far more of an openness of heart and honesty about the sins we struggle with? That we should be praying for one another, encouraging one another, confessing to one another. Seek to serve God. You want to break sin in your life? You want to grow and repent? Serve God. Seek him in the means of grace, as David does in his day, the temple. God's tabernacle in our day here in the church. He seeks fellowship with the saints. He wants to get busy doing things for God. He wants to sing to God. He wants to bring his offerings to God. He wants to sacrifice for God. He wants to join, verse 18, in the fellowship of God's people in worship. For them, that's what the sacrifices were. And yet David knows it needs to be a spiritual worship together. It's not just the outward performance that matters. He knows that what's really needed is that broken heart. A humble and sincere heart that knows it's got nothing to offer, really. It's all thanks to grace. A heart that knows that it's your unworthiness is the very thing that qualifies you for mercy. Repentance is something we do together. And you do it by serving in the church and by worship. Again, repentance is a beautiful, joyful thing. So what must you do? What is repentance? Believe in the gospel of mercy. Thoroughly confess your sin. Pray for the Spirit's transforming power. And then minister this grace with and to others. And bring your humbled heart to God. And it's beautiful. It's personal. And it's possible. And repentance. Repentance is the daily work of being a Christian. Repentance is not something that you do once when you first believe. Repentance is something you do every day in a deepening way with more and more joy. Repentance is a beautiful thing. Let's pray that we all learn how to repent. Let's pray that we see people coming to repent. And we teach them, it's a beautiful thing. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. And we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful work of grace that you do within us. That you are changing us out of our selfishness and smallness. And you are changing us to be like the Lord Jesus himself, to be conformed to his image, to be made beautiful and glorious through repentance. Oh, Heavenly Father, please grant us a gift of a deeper, more joyful repentance in all our lives. Lord, expose our sins to us. Help us to recognize and confess them. Lord, grant us your Spirit's power. Lord, do a new creation within us all. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw many others to come and repent too. Lord, we ask that we would see many souls brought into the church and changed. And Lord, we ask that you would grant us joy. Grant us more joy, Lord, in you day by day. Grant us, Lord, to rejoice in repenting. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.